Are you ready to awaken to a new you? Welcome to Healthy You Radio, the radio network that empowers you to heal you. Keisha Yours is here to share over 25 years of frontline medical experience, bringing you the latest scientific and medical research, tempered with the holistic wisdom of Ayurveda and functional medicine, all so you can be the best you you can be. And now your host, Keisha Yours.
This is Keisha Ewers, your wellness coach and advisor for today, and bringing you radio that empowers you to heal yourself. And good afternoon, Eric.
Good afternoon, Keisha. How are you today?
I'm good. Was my microphone live there at the beginning?
Somebody's been playing with my buttons here on
no,
the morning.
Oh, no. Not playing with your buttons.
Yeah. You know, normally people go around pressing my buttons, but playing with my buttons, that's not allowed.
It just isn't permitted.
Yeah. So sorry about that. But you did say welcome and good afternoon to everybody in case anybody missed any.
In case anyone didn't hear that part, we are Healthy You Radio. So, and we are here on a beautiful Seattle summer day.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely. And this is the day that we bring together our book authors with our guests and our listeners, right? So we get to hear from the visionaries of people that are working in the field of health and wellness. And of course, I don't ever separate out emotions, spirituality, mental health, or physical health, or environment from that picture.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. And at Fern Life Center, at the integrative clinic that I have, I do a lot of this stuff. And our authors today do that too, which is very exciting to me.
Well, you should have a lot to talk about.
We will have a lot to talk about. So I'm talking
about
today,
an hour's worth, I would
an
guess.
An hour's worth, that's right. And usually it's more, and I have to cut myself off. It's so sad. So my guests today are Cindy Dale and Andrew Wald, who are the co-authors of Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. Cindy is the author of Subtle Body and the Complete Book of Chakra Healing, as well as the president of Life System Services. And Andrew is a psychotherapist who studied Imago and Gestalt therapies, as well as neuro-linguistic programming. Welcome to Healthy You Radio, you guys.
Thank you.
We're very happy to be here.
Well, I love that you've combined spirituality with psychology. As I said off air, I do this in my own practice and at Fern Life Center and here in Seattle, and I don't think you can separate them but they're thought of as different disciplines out there in the arena of science, right?
They usually are, and that doesn't make sense because the roots of medicine and spirituality and therapy, actually, I think, are back in the jungles and the deserts with the shamans who were considered the priest healers. And, you know, it's good to separate out because each independent discipline can become stronger, but the root is the same, and I think we really are, at this point in time, needing to bring everything together to be more cohesive again.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
And I would, too. I had an email a couple of weeks ago from a cardiologist that's local here in Seattle, and she emailed and she said, I was given your name because I'm interested in putting an integrative cardiology department in the hospital that I work at. And she said, so I would love to come and visit you and see what it is you do. And I got so excited because anyone that writes me and says that, I say, come on over, you know, and I'll spend as much time as they need showing them how to put these things together. And so we spent about an hour together, and she said, what's the best piece of advice that you can give me? And I just said exactly what you said, don't forget and don't leave out where the roots of healing came from. And I think that's where integrative medicine is emerging from, is a regrowth of what was already here that we tended to separate out.
Right. What I've noticed, too, is that any time that there's a physical problem, there's always an emotional component to it. And every time that there's an emotional problem, there's a physical component to it. It's all integrated.
Absolutely. It's true. And one of the things that she said when she was sitting in my office yesterday was, I mentioned doing this in a board meeting. And the family practice physicians that were sitting there, I said, I would like to bring a naturopath in and have be part of this clinic organization as we do this. And they said, no,
you know, oh, dear.
You know, and it started this turf war thing, you know, they don't know what we do and they don't, they're, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, I just thought, how, you know, and I said, that's pretty normal and pretty standard. And, you know, I get my education from the Institute for Functional Medicine, which brings them both together. And naturopaths and MDs are both on the same board. And also people that come are from psychology, from spirituality. You know, we have all kinds of different, it's all integrated. And so, you know, I said, you've got to find that kind of environment where people are willing to speak to each other, because there is a lot of that throwing mud over the fence at each other and saying, you know, you don't know what the answer is. We do.
Well, you know, there's a private hospital in China. It's called the Clifford Pang, P-A-N-G Hospital, and I know of the owner. He's a 70-year-old man in medical school, but he started this hospital to help people who have cancer, and they blend alternative therapy, allopathic, and folk medicine, kind of their herbs and chanting and you know, different kind of practices, and they have an 80% success rate on cancer.
Wow. Which is so different from the dismal success rates that we have when we just do one thing.
They're bad.
Yeah, right. All of the integrative clinics that have to do with cancer here in the United States have really good statistics, too. So, yeah.
I think more and more the alternatives are now becoming the mainstream.
You're right. You're absolutely right. More and more we are seeing that, and it's so heartening to me. So let's talk about this book that you wrote together called Togetherness. And I love that you talk about sustained love, that it is achievable, because I think some people get wrapped up in that romantic love thing, and then they say, I've fallen out of love. Sustained love is a little bit harder to come by, right?
It is. You know, in the beginning of relationships, there are great heights, and everything seems that you do similarly, and everything is wonderful. As my sister-in-law would say, we even cut our broccoli the same way. You can't imagine being different. And then something happens along the way, and it always does, and that height, that beginning relationship ends, and it often comes crashing down, and people tend to think, unfortunately, that there's something wrong with the relationship, that because we don't have that same kind of excitement and desire for each other, that there's something inherently wrong. Well, it isn't, actually. What happens is that you substitute those heights for depth of the relationship. In my opinion, it's after those initial phases of the relationship end that the real relationship begins. And that's when you create depth, and then the depth is what is long-lasting.
Right.
And, I don't think it's too dissimilar from having a baby. You get, maybe I've had two, and Andy's had two, and I think, you know, you get
what? Well, my
wife
has. Maybe, I'm not sure if I have. But
you were there. You get maybe, what, 12 hours to 24 of that wonderful infatuation, and once you've missed the full sleep cycle, all of a sudden you're going, wow, this wonderful bond, this is really hard. This is hard to maintain. I've got to dig inside from a deeper place, and this being is separate from me. I can't just send them this telepathy that says, be quiet, or go to sleep, or whatever. I don't think romantic or soulmate relationships are really too much different than that. Mm-hmm. You have to negotiate how you're going to be doing this and how much you're willing to give, which if you're a parent is everything, frankly. But in romantic relationships, how much can you give and what do you need to receive, and keep doing the negotiations as you go on.
Well, one of the things that, you know, Andrew was saying, from the heights to the crash, is also echoed by marriage and family therapist that I've studied with a bit, David Schnarch, you know. And one of the things that he talks about is when you get to that, he calls it the crucible, that place where you just really are looking and saying, wow, this person is really different than I am. And I really didn't see that. And I'm having some real serious conflict inside about this. That now it's time for you to grow up, that that's the opportunity for you to individuate, differentiate, and become a real solid person inside of yourself without requiring it to come from outside of yourself. And that's one of those four cornerstones of togetherness that you talk about, that you get a togetherness with yourself. So talk a little bit about that.
It is really the first cornerstone, is to really tend to the community inside of ourselves and create an atmosphere of self-acceptance, but also kind of self-work in order to gain self-worth, so that that community inside of us is constantly, you know, upheld and nourished, but also worked on as well. I mean, we all come out of childhood with issues to work on. I would even suggest we enter childhood with issues to work on, and we've got room to grow. We've got room to expand in terms of embracing who we are, fixing the parts of us that are wounded or a little rusty or musty. And it's a constant, it's a continual, not battle, but I love your word, opportunity, to fall in love with ourselves over and over again. And frankly, I think Andy agrees with this too. Unless we're willing to do that, we're really not going to have rewarding relationships outside of ourselves either.
Yeah. Actually, you don't want one of those children inside of you driving the car. So you do have to make peace with all the different parts. I talk about this movie. It's an older movie. It shows my age, I think, called A Thousand Clowns. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one, Keisha, but this old movie with Jason Robards. And in it, they talk about a person going to the circus. And they see a little car that putts around, it stops, the door flies open, and out pour a thousand clowns. That's us. Mm-hmm. We have that inside of us. And sometimes, depending on which philosophy you have, either old wounds from childhood or old wounds from previous lives, some of those children tend to take hold and run the show. And you do not want to have that if you can help it. So you have to actually make peace with those parts, those egos that are inside of you, mm-hmm. in order to have a good relationship with yourself,
right.
Which I totally agree with Cindy, where you have to have it with yourself first in order to have it with another person.
You do, because if you're relying on that person to sort of keep on reflecting back to you what you want to see, then you're actually never going to be in touch with what your old, you know, your stuff is, your shadow side, because you'll always, you know, be requiring that person to reflect that you're just fabulous and perfect. And we all know that we have stuff to work on. So
that's right. And if we do not like ourselves, we sometimes get reflected that back
right
to us.
Right.
Which doesn't work so well. I have this saying that I made up, that a measure of a good relationship is not just how well you get along, but how well you can resolve your differences in a relationship. And that's internally and externally. You know, depending on how well we can be partners with ourselves and partners with our partner,
mm-hmm.
Being on the same team will depend on how well we can do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you made a really good point, Andy, that people will agree with us in terms of our own self-opinion. If I don't like myself, I'm going to attract people who are going to agree with me.
Right.
That's right.
They will. They'll just go right along with it. If I like myself, despite my warts and wounds and problems, they'll tend to agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that reflective mirror. Yep.
That's right. That's right. And so often what we don't like in our partner is the very thing that we don't like in ourselves, and we're unwilling to actually see that. And,
that's exactly
and to
right.
look into the mirror of what's going on, you know,
yeah.
and say, oh, that's actually something I do, and I'm not so willing to see that. So we
right.
project it, right?
A lot of times it comes out as anger. What we get angry at in another person is very often what we're afraid of is true about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think is what we want to be more like. I dated a man who had great delight and fun not following schedules. And, you know, which is a very challenging way to be in a relationship. You know, but he didn't look at the watch or the calendar, and he seemed to go about his life quite fine, and I would find myself constantly angry and frustrated. And I sat back and I thought, you know, I kind of want to be a little bit more like that. I need a lot more opportunities in my life where I am not just chained to the tyranny of details that's written down in my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's a little bit of the opposite mirroring, where we have to say, are they portraying something that we secretly desire? And if so, mm-hmm. can we add that into our own self or lives in a healthy way? We certainly don't want to go extreme, because extremes basically just create failures. It doesn't work.
Good points.
And we get attracted to often to that part of ourselves that we're missing and that we see in other people.
Right. And that's imago, actually.
Yeah.
So we're going to hold that thought, and we're going to come back and talk about some more four cornerstones. We've touched on one, and we've got three more to go. We're talking to Cindy Dale and Andrew Wald. This is Healthy You Radio. You're listening to Keisha Yours. We'll return in a moment.
Stay. Research shows that over 90% of health issues can be attributed to stress. Not every illness requires pills, supplements, or other costly interventions. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that calms and relaxes the entire nervous system, working on mental, physical, and spiritual levels. Our Reiki masters at Fern Life Center have been especially trained to individualize your care to suit your unique life concerns. Contact Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. To begin your journey to a stress-free life and take charge of your health today. Fern Life Center also offers Reiki training programs from levels 1 through master level. As a certified Reiki master, you too can offer this beautiful healing modality to others or begin a training program of your own if you have always wanted to be a healer. Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information or call today.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
It has been said from ancient to modern times that the seat of health begins in the colon. Fern Life Center's colon hydrotherapy is a safe, clean, odor-free method of cleaning up your digestion without the use of drugs or chemicals. Toxicity of the colon can cause severe disease, ranging from simple allergies to major medical problems, including cancer, altered immunity, and even mental health issues that range from brain fog to bipolar disorder. Go to www.fernlifecenter.com today to schedule your colon hydrotherapy appointment and start your journey to clean health today. If you book now, you will receive our signature chakra balancing treatment to go with your colon hydrotherapy session free. This is a $35 value, absolutely free if you book today. Go to www.fernlifecenter.com for more information about our unique colon hydrotherapy program.
Don't just take our word for it. Listen to what others have to say about Fern Life Center's amazing weight loss program. Give yourself the gift of good health this season.
Since going on the Fern Life Center Ideal Protein Diet Program, I've been able to go off my cholesterol medication. My total cholesterol is 58 points lower than it was 3 months ago, and that is after going off Lipitor. My good cholesterol has improved, and my bad cholesterol is down, and my triglycerides are now normal. I've lost 55 pounds, 26 inches in 5 months. I feel like I have my life back and am free from my food addictions. Woohoo! Thanks, Keisha, and Ideal Protein.
Go to fernlifecenter.com to schedule your first appointment today. That's fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and get a water bottle absolutely free.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
We ought to stay together.
And welcome back to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Ewers. You're joining us for conversation today with Cindy Dale and Andrew Wald, who are the co-authors of Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. I didn't want to come back in, Eric, because it was such a perfect theme song for this show.
Let's stay together, Al Green.
I just great wanted song. Al Green to say all of it, right?
Right.
Through good and bad, happy and sad. Mm-hmm. Eric was cueing me to come on, and I said no. Al saying it all.
Right.
So welcome back to the show, Cindy and Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Before we went to break, we were talking about the four cornerstones that you two have identified in sustained love as an achievable goal for togetherness. And they are togetherness with self, which we spoke about, togetherness with a future partner, togetherness with a current partner, and togetherness with the divine. So why don't you take us through those last three a bit?
Well, you know, for some of us, we don't have a partner right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those. I am out in the dating market. Andy has been happily married for, is it 35 years?
39.
39? I could just say 40 and be done with it, I think. And, you know, so we want to open ourselves in such a way that we meet the right kind of people. I think one actual requirement for that is to be in community, as we've been talking about, not just internally, but with other people in our lives, period. So I have a wonderful support system with great friends. My kids are delightful. I know all the people at the local grocery stores. I see my mom once a week. And so often people want to attract somebody and they narrow in and they think, I just have to meet Ms. Right or hopefully not Ms. Wrong again or Mr. Right, et cetera. And so they just go after that chase instead of realizing that our hearts need to be open for relationship, period. We need to be open to that flow, and you never know who might walk in. A few years ago, I dated a man I met in a French class. I had to take a French class to finish up a degree, and he was an FBI agent. Now, you know, I couldn't have gone on Match.com and said, I want an FBI agent to date who, you know, speaks French. But I was following my rhythm and being who I was, and we became very good friends, dated for a year. He moved to Bosnia. We had a wonderful set of experiences. He didn't want a small child in his life. I didn't want to move to Bosnia. But, you know, we had a beautiful relationship. So I challenge people, if they want to meet somebody, to be open, period, to be about love and togetherness, not just this prescribed notion of exactly what we need and what it needs to look like, because that doesn't tend to work. I've met everybody that I've had wonderful relationships with, you know, really just being myself, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Right. And most relationships, I think, are formed in an unconscious way anyway. You know, what we have in our minds that, you know, we want somebody who's good-looking and has a sense of humor and does well financially. And then we get attracted to somebody who's totally different than that. And it's totally an unconscious event. So you can't plan it anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I like the statement that you make that relationships lasting forever are not really a benchmark of success the way we tend to think of them. And that if you think that your relationship needs to last forever, then it does rule out your experiences of evolution of your own consciousness and growth in relationship with lots of different people, like Cindy was saying, in community.
Absolutely.
And there are different ways relationships can last forever. I've been divorced about 10 years from my son Gabe's dad, and we actually have a great relationship. He has a key to my house. He comes in if I'm traveling. He watches the dogs. He is my emergency contact. And, you know, we just have continually evolved our relationship. We didn't get along as a married couple, I'll guarantee that. We love Gabe. We respect each other. And so I like it when people start to think of togetherness in terms of a shifting of the way we relate to somebody. And if we can be with somebody 40, 50, 60 years and call it a marriage, that's absolutely terrific. If for some of us that's not really what we're able to do with a particular person, there's different ways to look at that. It's certainly not a failure. How can we transform? You know, unless, of course, there's abuse or something really dramatically wrong there. It, you know, we're all evolving, and we need to allow that other person to evolve just as we need to invite the relationship to do the same.
I like to use the analogy of in nature, when you see a tree growing in the woods, sometimes or a lot of times you'll see it split off into two separate trunks. And I think that that is sometimes what happens with people, that we're together for a while and then we grow apart for one reason or another. It's nobody's fault. Mm-hmm. It just sometimes happens that we go in different directions.
That's what happened to my, I was married to my husband for 20 years, and same, that's exactly what happened, and we're very good friends. Same exact relationship that you have, Cindy, with your ex-husband, and I don't even call him ex-husband. He's the, you know, like you said, he's my parenting partner, you know, and
yeah.
when we divorced, we told the kids that that's what we're doing. We're putting our family under two separate roofs, but we're still a family,
right.
And I think that's really important.
One way to also get ready for a future partner is to make peace with all our old relationships so that we don't, and learn from them,
mm-hmm.
So that we don't repeat old patterns. And there's this kind of story, if we don't learn our lessons, it's to me it it's like a caterpillar crawling up the vine or wherever it goes, and it weaves a cocoon, and out comes, after a while, a butterfly. And if you don't learn your lessons, it's like the butterfly carrying around its cocoon everywhere it goes. And it weighs you down, and there's a great tendency to repeat what happened. So you have to make peace with the, like the two of you have done, with old relationships, and learn from them to move forward and getting yourself ready for a future partner.
And so let's talk about togetherness with current partner then.
Okay.
So with your current partner and that togetherness piece, what advice do you have for creating sustainable love for people?
Well, one of the things that is really important is to recognize that you are on the same team. That a measure of a good relationship is not just how well you get along, but how well you resolve your differences. That you have to be able to resolve your differences, and in doing that, you have to be on the same team. And as teammates, you resolve differences through talking openly, honestly, until you can find consensus on what's different. And Cindy, did you want to jump in there?
No, you do. You have to be on the same team, whether you're in a situation like I am where, you know, especially around a certain purpose, raising a child, you are a permanent partnership, or like Andy, you're in a permanent marriage. It's like you've got to be facing forward together. And sometimes you're a little lockstep, and sometimes you might be in a misstep. But if you're aiming the same and the right direction, you're gonna get there. And I think that Andy and I too talk an awful lot about something that people often consider to be anti-relationship, but is actually quite pro-relationship, which is boundaries. You've absolutely got to be able to differentiate between each other, to be able to share what your own specific needs are, to respect the other person's needs, but to be able to say the word no, or maybe secondarily the word maybe, can we talk about it, as well as yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Talking about boundaries really is about telling who we are and how we want to be treated. And it's really important, as Cindy is saying, is how you convey that. And it has to be the no, and a healthy, there are unhealthy boundaries too, which we can talk about. But in the healthy boundaries, you're really saying no to an event, not the relationship.
Right.
People need to keep that in mind. And how you say it, if you can say it with a caring, compassionate voice, mm-hmm. not vitriolic, then it can work so much better. Mm-hmm. I have the example about couple that I saw where it was a Czech man. He was from, it was a woman from the Czech Republic, and the man was Greek, and he loved kissing her all the time in public, and she hated it, and she would turn her face and basically put up a boundary, and he couldn't understand it until they got into my office when she was able to explain to him that where she came from in the Czech Republic, kissing in public was frowned upon and thought of as lower class. And when he learned that, he didn't take it personally, they were able to create a compromise where they would be able to hold hands in public.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really how you deal with it that is so essential.
And isn't that key to not take it personally?
Correct.
Right.
First of all, most relationships are male and female. They're not all. But no matter what our gender differences, we've all been raised by different parents. We have different tastes, different souls, different desires, different ways of thinking and seeing. So I think ultimately it's so vital to make a choice to believe the best about our partner, that they're really not trying to hurt us. If they're a little late, maybe they really got caught in traffic. If they say something in a way that's different than we would say it, maybe that's just who they are. I still remember going to the different types of family events with my ex-husband. I'm all Norwegian. Like, you you have to sit prim and proper if you're going to sit at all at the table. Everything's served one item at a time, one stage at a time. It's please and thank yous, and he just didn't know how to deal with that. He was all Italian. We go to his house, and you were lucky if you were Norwegian if you ended up with a roll on your plate, because it's a complete free-for-all. If you don't grab your food right away, you're not going to get any at all. And, you know, so part of getting along was being able to adjust to each other's environments and then see, hey, you know, we're just really different kind of people. So we don't mean anything bad by being the way we are. We just are the way we are.
Yeah, these are all really good points. And I think that if you're able to say, you know, I need this because of this, that's another thing that a lot of people will leave out, you know, is, I would like to have this time for this for myself. And it's not because I don't like you. It's because I just need this time for myself. One of the things that we have used, my husband and myself, and I use a lot in my clinic, is the Enneagram. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a way of sort of understanding those strategies that you created as a child. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I are on the very opposite ends of the Enneagram. I'm completely heart-centered. He's completely head-centered. And, you know, and so we've had to be able to learn to communicate from those spaces and not take it personally, you know, not say, well, you know, in my mind, I can say, well, you're completely heartless and you're just so selfish, you know, and in his mind, he can say, you're just so over the top emotional. I don't even know how to handle you, you know. And so as we learned the Enneagram, we went, oh, that's why, you know, it's a strategy that you create as a kid. It's your perceptual field that you view your universe through. And that's a really empowering thing.
What you're actually also talking about when you are in that kind of discussion is having goodwill.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's an essential point for any good relationship, is to continual goodwill.
Yeah.
When people have bad boundaries, there isn't goodwill.
Yeah. Not projecting that the intentions or motives that your partner has are somehow bad. That's absolutely true.
Right.
And respecting the boundaries that they do set up. I think sometimes that's hard for people to do that. I think for we women, sometimes it's hard when a man says, I don't want to talk. What? Well, I need to talk. Or, you know, maybe sometimes it's a challenge for a man when a woman says, I really need to talk this through, and he kind of rolls his eyes. So we tend to be different in terms of our gender and how we are. One of the happiest couples that I met made some decisions about how to support each other. And every night they get home at about 5:30 or so, and the husband devotes an entire half an hour to just listening to his wife. He doesn't do anything but listen, nods his head, and he has to pay attention and actually hear what she's saying. And he says if he does that, he can go get his hour private time and be completely happy ever mm-hmm. after. So we need to give a little to get a little too.
Yeah, there's a couple I work with in my practice that I just taught that concept to him. Said, you know, if you give her this little bit at the beginning when you go home, you probably will get away with more later.
It's very true.
Yes, it's true. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about togetherness with the divine. You're listening to Healthy You Radio. This is Keisha Ewer. Stay tuned. We'll return in a moment.
Ladies, those yearly exams do not have to be so stressful. Visit Dr. Jillian and have a women's health exam that is individualized to your unique needs and body type. Dr. Jillian is warm, caring, and listens. Don't have one more exam that you walk out feeling rushed or misunderstood. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Dr. Jillian and take charge of your health.
Are you fighting with stubborn weight that won't come off? As you've probably learned by now, fad diets don't work in the long run. At Fern Life Center, their highly experienced and educated medical providers can develop a program that'll help you lose those pounds of pain. They start with genetic hormone, adrenal, and allergy testing first. After you've gone over the results with Drs. Keisha or Jillian, you'll then choose the option that best suits your needs and begin working with their nutritionists and or ideal protein weight loss coaches. Your plan will be augmented augmented with treatments such as massage, colon hydrotherapy, counseling and hypnotherapy, detoxification with their far infrared sauna, and exercise on the 4-minute range of motion machine will tone and detoxify you as you lose your weight. They'll track your body fat composition, lab results, weights, and measurements so you can see your success as those pounds melt off. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Keisha and take charge of your health today.
Do you suffer from allergies, food sensitivities, hormone imbalance, depression, fatigue, weight gain, burnout, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disorders, skin problems, anxiety, or have stomach or gut issues? There is a solution. Keisha Ewers has over 30 years in medicine and brings the world of naturopathic medicine, Ayurveda, and her Western medical education together to form an integrative approach to solving the root cause of illness. Keisha spends more time with her patients than most doctors and really listens to their stories in order to help cure a problem rather than just treating symptoms. Give yourself the gift of good health and call Keisha today. Take care of your life and call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 for an appointment. For more information about Keisha and Fern Life Center, go to fernlifecenter.com, mention this ad, and get a copy of Keisha's anti-inflammatory lifestyle article for free. Most insurance plans accepted.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Healthy You Radio, everybody. This is Keisha Ewers, and you're joining us today for a conversation with Cindy Dale and Andrew Wald, the co-authors of Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. So before we went to break, we've been talking about those four cornerstones of togetherness, and the last one that we needed to touch on after togetherness with self, togetherness with a future partner, togetherness with a current partner, is togetherness with the divine. So Cindy, why don't you take that?
I would love to talk about that. I work in the spiritual field, intuition and energy medicine, and you know, I find that almost every issue at some level reduces to that which is between us and the divine. Whatever it is we call the divine, God, Allah, the creator. When I'm working with a client, I usually just say a whole bunch of words and ask somebody to pick which one we can use when we're in the session.
Yeah.
You know, higher power, but it doesn't matter what you use because it's love. And we're all flawed. We're supposed to be. That's how we learn. I believe we're actually on this planet to not just learn about love, but to create more love. And so in order to do that, we have to continually choose between being not loving or being more loving, or taking a situation where there's a little itsy bits or maybe a medium amount of love and to create more love than has been there before. And so I personally, and I think Andy would agree, have to have a relationship with the divine in order for me to continually grow and have something bigger than me to learn from. I can learn from other people. I can learn in relationship, but you know, I come short. I need to have spiritual qualities constantly being shown me and that I need to be able to access if I'm going to be more than I am right now.
Mm. That's very beautiful. Andrew, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. In the book, the first line in one of the chapters is from Les Mis, to love another person is to see the face of God. And I think that what Cindy is also saying is that to love another person, that God is in you as you. And so loving the divine is also part of loving another person. And it's in some ways one and the same.
And, you know, that's my very favorite line, and it brings me to my knees and to tears every single time I see that show. And that song is so moving and compelling. And it was a very spiritual moment and a great epiphany and an aha. The first time I went to see that show was, to love another person is to see the face of God. And I went, that's right, you know. And it was It was right when I was very first starting sort of my own spiritual emerging and awakening and opening. And there have been so many different other spiritual masters I've studied with that have said the same thing in different ways. But one of the things that I've seen is that, you know, in couples that I work with is, you know, if you're hurting another person, then you're actually hurting yourself. Because this person in front of you is God. you know, and you are God. And so you really want to get in touch with that. And so I think that togetherness with the divine is the only way that you can actually see that. If you think of yourself separate from the divine, then you can hurt people. You don't get it that this is God in front of you. And, you know, the Bible says that, and in as much as you've done to this, to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. It's repeated in scriptures throughout time, right? Different ways.
Exactly. Over and over again. Really, any religion or spirituality comes down to that real basic idea. I think, too, in the New Testament of Jesus saying, you know, let the children come unto me. What if we could look at each person in that way, with that sense of kindness that we afford children? We don't want to be abused. I'm not talking about kind of lowering our standards of self-care or teaching people it's okay for them to be abusive. That's not appropriate for self or other. But what if we could really see that innocence within the other? Because I think that's the place where God still rings the most true and shines forth with the greatest light. It is in that space and place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think as a society as a whole, we need to all move together towards source. It's not one or another, but we have to all help each other and move en masse towards source and light.
Mm-hmm. And I see that happening, actually. We do have an evolution of consciousness right now. I mean, a lot of people see our country as polarized, but a lot of that is just a shifting that's happening. And that I think that that's really becoming more and more pronounced the more that we go along here. So one of the things that you mentioned in your book is Cindy's dream. And, you know, you asked the question, Cindy, after this dream, how does God see me right now? And that's a question I actually ask in my hypnotherapy sessions with my clients a lot when they're showing shame and guilt towards themselves is, you know, how does God see me right now? That's a great question.
Isn't it vital? And I've been shown that in dreams, and I think of a particular client who I used a version of that question for that made a real difference in her life. She was a mother married to a man who was quite abusive physically, and I would guess even sexually to her children as well as to her, and she considered herself a Catholic and thought that the church would excommunicate her if she left her husband. So she came to see me, and I kind of felt like there was something else in here. And I said, you know, why do you really think you're not leaving? And she said, well, I smoke. Well, okay. I've heard worse sins than that. And I said, why don't you sit down sometime and light a cigarette and put a cigarette in front of you and ask God to be smoking with you? And then why don't you ask God about your relationship? Why don't you ask God what God wants for you? She did it, and within a month, she left her husband, and she also actually quit smoking. As soon as she stopped needing to hang on to that as a way to beat herself up and look at the situation through the divine's eyes or eyeglasses, she was able to mature herself to a point of self-love, loving her children, and doing what really needed to be done in that situation.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And everybody that you ask that question of, how does God see me right now, you know, if you ask them to trade places with God, then you can't help but have a loving outcome from that, you know, because you're not going to feel shamed and guilted by God if you have the perception of God, that God's a loving being.
Right.
So it's an interesting kind of dilemma that it'll put someone in if they are filled with guilt and shame. Talk about guilt and shame, Andrew, and the role that that plays in relationship and in that relationship with self.
About guilt?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guilt is anger turned inwards. And if you live with guilt, then that's going to affect every aspect of your life and every relationship because you're carrying around anger and a certain sense of resentment towards yourself. You are not then, as we were talking about before, seeing yourself as the way God might see you. You are seeing yourself through a critical eye. Very often you'll see guilt, at least I see guilt in my office, as a result of a person who has been criticized a lot growing up, that whatever they did was never good enough, so that they would carry this sense of guilt of whatever they do. Now it's internalized. Whatever they do is never good enough, and that gets played out. in relationships as well. So what happens there is then their spouse, their significant other, also nothing they do is ever good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I've have a number of clients that have come in with that issue. And that it's a tough one to get over about being able to free yourself through forgiving yourself for being human.
Mm-hmm.
And that being human means, as Cindy was saying before, you know, making mistakes, and you have warts, and you know, you're basically human. You're not supposed to do everything perfectly. Although some of these people feel that they do, they should, and when they don't, they end up feeling guilty for could be a, you know, a lifetime worth, and it's a tough one to get over.
I find that also with the shame process, the guilt process, that as an adult and some of the people I work with, they will feel like nothing they do is ever good enough in the eyes of their spouse, but then they also make their spouse feel like nothing they good do is good enough for them. You know, so it sort of becomes the cycle that repeats itself from their childhood, right? So you become the perpetrator as well as the victim, and just keep going in there.
And the sad part is that it'll get passed on generation to generation, because then their kids don't do it well enough, and then they grow up and see that they're not good enough and their children aren't good enough.
Right.
And it gets perpetuated. But I like what you were talking about with seeing the world through God's glasses. So sometimes I'll do a gestalt exercise where I will have the nurturing part of themselves or the God's glasses talk to this guilty child. And I'll have some internal kinds of exercises in which they really are able to see themselves in a different light.
Mm.
And when they do, there's a lot of tears and a sense of, oh, my gosh, you know, this child really isn't so bad and really deserves to be loved. And then transformation takes place.
We do this in hypnotherapy, too, and it's always has tears with it. It's amazing. So you talked about forgiveness as one of the pathways out. This is actually where my doctoral research is around forgiveness. So gratitude and forgiveness, talk about the role in relationship with self and with other and with divine, and how important those are.
Well, as Andy was saying, forgiveness is key. I think sometimes self-forgiveness is harder than forgiving somebody else.
It's always harder.
It's so hard because we just hold ourselves to these standards, and there's kind of this split, I think, sometimes because we're spiritual beings, where we have a sense or a memory of or the feeling that we could be so much better than we are. And that might be true on a cloud in heaven, but it's certainly not true down here, walking in these bodies on earth. So I think sometimes that split can really do us in. So I really encourage people to know that this human experience is itself a spiritual experience. And anytime I lead a client to a place where they're actually communicating or communing with God and, you know, wanting to move toward forgiveness, it always seems that that divine says there's nothing to forgive. Just learn, take the gift, and let go.
Mm-hmm.
Release yourself and move on and learn, you know, go on to a new learning, go on to a new wisdom path because you've overdone this one.
Right.
And what I've found, and it's also in the book, that the three things that you want to include in your relationship with a significant other is forgiveness, appreciation, and optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, I emphasize the appreciation. Because I think when you live in appreciation, you then live in abundance as opposed to deprivation. And I work with couples a lot to emphasize the sense of appreciation and seeing things more abundantly than through deprivation.
You know, it's interesting because Gary Chapman, who wrote the Five Love Languages, talks about appreciation as being one of the love languages, and it's one of my husband's love languages, and it's not one of mine. Mine is I have a couple different ones. And when you don't speak each other's language like that, then, you know, I'll appreciate what he does. I'll say, thank you for the juice you made me this morning. And then I'm good to go. I love you. Have a good day. And I go out the door. And that's actually not enough for somebody that needs that kind of appreciation as a love language, right? There's different ways.
Kinds of appreciation. You know, there is a verbal or it could be physical.
Mm-hmm.
There could be any number of ways to express appreciation, and you have to ask the person what will work for you.
Right. What does it look like or what does it feel like for you to feel appreciated? And we have had that discussion, and I think it's an amazing thing to learn how to love one another. How is it that you feel loved? And just to ask that question of each other, what is it that I can bring to the table that will help you to feel loved? Because we do speak different love languages. I think that's a really pivotal thing to come to in your relationship, to say, oh, you mean when you're out cleaning the garage and I'm inside getting mad because you're not spending time with me, you're actually showing me love, right? which for me wouldn't happen because my love language is service. I would love it. I wouldn't be inside being mad. I would be so happy. So, but I see couples that do that, you know. He always comes home and goes out and mows the lawn, you know, and to that person, she's seeing that as abandonment, right? She's feeling
right.
that as a lack. Where he's actually trying to show her that he loves her by taking care of the yard for her so she doesn't have to do it. So
And there's kind of a really core basic tenement in here, or tenant. I worked with a couple once where she kept asking him, you know, what do you need? What do you need? And he would never answer the question. And I said, you know, what makes that so challenging for you to tell her what it is you want or what you need? And he goes, well, unless she can figure it out, it doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that all the time in my office too.
Oh, dear.
You're supposed to be mind readers.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So.
Or you know what else we have people do is that they give what it is that they want to receive.
And well, that's how you can tell your love language. Yeah. If you're doing a lot of the thing
work you
want to receive, then that's your love language. And unless your partner speaks that same language, they're not going to hear it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's so interesting. So you guys actually differentiate between a difficult relationship and difficulty in a relationship. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, a difficult relationship is really going to have some of those no-nos in that's going to make you say, should we be in this? You know, are we or one or the other of us supposed to be with each other? Should we get therapy or help, which you can do even when there's difficulties? You know, but a real difficult relationship is one in which there's any kind of an addiction, an abuse pattern, when you're really not going to work anything out. So that's one category, and I know, Andy, in your practice you see that. I do even with my intuitive work. Difficulties are normal. Difficulties exist. We have difficulties with ourselves, if we're really honest, sometimes on an hour-to-hour basis, like, gosh, Cindy, why are you just sitting around? Or, gosh, why didn't you walk the dog? Or whatever it is. Difficulties are pearls. They're challenges that enable us to grow a pearl and to become closer, actually, rather than farther apart, or maybe become more forgiving or more appreciative or more kind or patient. Gosh knows I need to work on patience constantly. But we have to question the relationships that are just plain too hard. Should they be?
Right. And how much flexibility do we have to stretch in each other's direction? And if sometimes in relationships, the troubled ones, the really difficult ones, there's not enough elasticity in ourselves to stretch in the other person's direction to give them what it is that they desire. And that's a difficult relationship. And as you said, difficulties in relationships are the spice of a relationship in some ways. You know, what you're describing really are just differences. How do we resolve our differences? And people can look at that as a problem in a relationship or just natural process of how a relationship goes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your wisdom, everybody. I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Appreciate the work that you've done in this book, Togetherness, Creating and Deepening Sustainable Love. Do you want to give people your contact information for how to find your book?
We certainly would. You can go on my website, cindydale.com, CYNDIDALE. The book's in Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And, Andy, you also have a website if you'd like to share that.
Sure. AndrewWald.com. And the book is listed there as well. And it's also in a number of local bookstores. I don't know in which areas people are listening would be, but you could check that out.
All right. Well, thanks again. I love the synergy that you've put together here between spirituality and the actual kind of therapeutic design of a good relationship and the cornerstones of togetherness, your togetherness with yourself, your togetherness with your partner, whether it's future or current, and then togetherness with the divine. And I could really pick out the influences of A Course in Miracles and the Gestalt and Imago and some of the things that you guys have done. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun to read.
Great.
It,
so.
Thank you for having us. It was
Thank
fun
you
being
very
on.
Much.
All right. Thanks. So remember to live, love, laugh, learn, and listen to the Healthy You Radio Network, everyone, and have a fantastic day.
Ladies, those yearly exams do not have to be so stressful. Visit Dr. Jillian and have a women's health exam that is individualized to your unique needs and body type. Dr. Jillian is warm, caring, and listens. Don't have one more exam that you walk out feeling rushed or misunderstood. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Dr. Jillian and take charge of your health.